Crack of Dawn, Chapter 4. This is the final chapter. The next morning, the headmaster called Dawn into his office immediately after registration. Then he put his head out the door and told his secretary to take a long break. She left with alacrity, and Mr. Bennett locked his office door with lustful joy in his heart. As Dawn sat in the malefactor's chair in front of his desk, he stood in front of her, unzipped his fly, and got his already half-stick cock out. "Kiss it, you little whore," he ordered her. "Kiss my knobhead." One fearful glance up at his face told the little schoolgirl to expect no mercy. She puckered up and kissed his glands, making it swell and twitch in appreciation. "Now lick it," Mr. Bennett went on remorselessly. "Lick it like a lollipop. Get a lot of spit on it, because I'm going to shove it up your arse afterwards." With many tears and hesitations, the hapless girl orally pleasured Mr. Bennett's stiffening prong. After a few minutes of her tender ministrations, Mr. B was grunting and moaning in pleasure, and his cock was bigger and harder than it had ever been. The urge to shove his tingling knob end into a warm, moist orifice now became too strong for him. Grasping Dawn's head firmly in both hands, he crammed half his length into her mouth in a single thrust, making her splutter and gurgle in muffled protest. "Choke on it, bitch," he snarled at her and started to fuck her mouth with brutal delight. And Dawn almost choked on it. Mr. Bennett was even more ruthless in his oral rape of the pretty schoolgirl than Ken had been, and he was more spectacularly endowed, too. His enormous shaft pillaged Dawn's mouth and throat with long, slow strokes, the swollen glands penetrating well past her gag point. Her little face went red, her eyes watered, and drool escaped from the corners of her mouth as she retched and gurgled. But Mr. Bennett cared nothing for her discomfort. For him, choke-fucking Dawn was a hugely erotic experience, and he soon got so carried away that he was thumping her face into his muscular abdomen with each mighty thrust. Little Dawn couldn't take much more of this punishment. She was managing to breathe through her nose on each of Mr. Bennett's out-thrusts, so she was getting just about enough oxygen to keep herself from falling unconscious. But the battering blows of the headmaster's crotch and thighs to her face were too much. It was as though she was being repeatedly smacked hard into the face and at the same time as being choke-fucked. Under that cruel assault, the little breath that she had left hiccuped out of her, and her face went from red to purple, and she lost all hold of consciousness. Mr. Bennett was way too turned on to care. He still wanted to bugger the little schoolgirl over his desk, but for now, he was enjoying the sensation of violating her face far too much to want to stop. He saw that she'd passed out, but he continued to force his dick down her throat with vindictive enthusiasm. In fact, her unconsciousness excited him still further and made him even more extreme in the lustful liberties he was taking with her pretty face. It was only when he felt his orgasm approaching that he stopped and pulled the head of his shaft out of her gullet. He didn't want to come just yet. He hauled the unconscious Dawn out of the chair and dumped her face down on his desk. The little girl recovered his senses to feel the headmaster hauling down her virginal white knickers and spreading her legs. Then she gave a despairing wail of pain and choked off by Mr. Bennett's hand over her mouth as his stupendous hard-on poked through her arsehole and began its inexorable slide up into her guts. Dawn's arse had already been stretched by two big cocks the night before, but the pain was still incredible as Mr. Bennett forced his gigantic fuckstick up her anal orifice and deep into her bowels. She couldn't believe that anything so big could fit into her little body without displacing her stomach, her lungs, her heart. She thought she was going to die, but she didn't die. She just lay sprawled on the desk, gasping and moaning incoherently as Mr. Bennett proceeded to booger her with slow, deep thrusts. The headmaster was in a sort of heaven of lust, lost in the indescribable pleasure of having an underage fuck toy completely at his mercy. "Bitch, "Whore, slut," he panted as he sodomized her. "You fucking love it, you little cocksucker. This is what you live for." Dawn might have disagreed, but she was in no position to reply. All she could do was pant and whimper as the headmaster's gigantic erection pumped and pummeled at her tender bumhole. The savage anal violation went on for what seemed like an eternity to the little girl, but Mr. Bennett was mindful of the time. He had a funding meeting to attend in a half an hour, and before he'd need to attend the meeting, he had to get it all freshened up, so he'd have to come soon. He debated with himself whether to shoot his load down Dawn's arse or to finish off in her mouth. Upper arse, he decided, because he was already very close to orgasm. That's when he decided to stick four fingers up little Dawn's cunt and finger-fuck the little cunt while he was raping her arsehole. Mr. Bennett was enjoying himself so much that he couldn't hold back any longer. His avenging cock and fingers were fucking little Dawn front and back, wreaking havoc on her unprotected holes. No lovemaking that he could ever remember had even come close to this in intimacy and ecstasy. And with a groan of sheer delight, he slumped over Dawn's back as his climax took him. His cock pulsed and throbbed as he filled Dawn's bowels with his semen. Even then he didn't pull out of her, but continued to rape her cunt with his fingers as his climax subsided. When he finally pulled his cock out of the little girl's rectum and stood up, Dawn slid off the desk to the floor with a breathless, sobbing moan. He wiped her up with a tissue and told the dazed, almost stupefied girl that she'd be fine. Then he made her pull her knickers back up and straighten her blouse. Just before Dawn left the office, Mr. Bennett slammed her hard against the wall. "Listen, Dawn," he said, "listen to what I'm telling you." To add weight and emphasis to his words, he slid his hand under her gym slip and hooked her knickers aside and shoved two fingers up her gash. Dawn cried out in pain and almost collapsed, but he held her pinned against the wall. With his other hand around her throat, he reminded her of the hold that he and Ken had on her. The tape showed her as a willing participant in sexual adventures with her teachers. And if she told anyone what they were doing to her, they'd claim that she was the instigator and had seduced them. And then they'd send the tape to everyone who knew her, and her parents would get to see her playing a whore. Poor little Dawn was cowed into submission. Though her cunt and her arse ached fiercely as she limped away down the corridor, she knew that she wouldn't dare to tell anyone what the headmaster and Ken, her boyfriend, were doing to her. She would continue to be their sex toy until they tired of her or took pity on her. And she knew enough about men's desires now to realize that the first would happen long before the second did. It was the next day that Ken's friend Mike got to meet Dawn for the first time when Ken brought her around to his house after school. Mike didn't know if this was just Ken doing a favor for a mate or whether his double bed was a more attractive proposition than that lay-by. But either way, Mike's doorbell rang at 4:15, and when he opened the door, there she was. "Oh, fuck!" he exclaimed. "Just look at you! Come on in, kid. Come on in." She hesitated for a second, but then Ken shoved her brusquely in through the door, following on behind. He locked the door and then bolted it. Mike's wife was on late shift at the surgery and wasn't meant to get home until 9, but he certainly didn't want her to come home early and find both him and Ken raping a 14-year-old schoolgirl in their marriage bed. That might put a bit of a strain on their union. "What's the cover story?" he asked Ken. "Dawn just told her parents we were holding tryouts for the chess club. They don't fucking care." They took Dawn upstairs and got her stripped off in short order. Then Mike licked her tits and felt up her cunt to get him in the mood while Ken got off his own kit. "You're a very lovely girl, Dawn," Mike told her tenderly. He was poking one finger inside her cunt opening as they sitted, and she was wincing and gasping. He didn't know how sore and tender she was from this morning's rape. Ken climbed onto the bed and pushed his rampant erection against Dawn's lips. "Lick my cock, Dawn," he told her. "Show me how much you love me." Miserable but outnumbered, Dawn obeyed. Mike watched, entranced, as she serviced Ken's big hard-on with her tongue, lapping obediently at his swollen glands. Mike couldn't resist and got his own cock out and thrust it into her face. "Both of us," he ordered her. Faced with two massive hard-ons, little Dawn was thoroughly cowed and intimidated. Tears started in her eyes as she lapped first at Mike's knob and then at Ken's. It felt fantastic, and it looked it for even every bit as good. This beautiful little 14-year-old girl was kneeling on the bed between those two men, using her mouth on their cocks and getting them hard so they could shag her. After a few minutes of this treatment, they were more than ready to enjoy Dawn's other orifices. They got her down on the bed between them, on her side, and Mike crammed his painfully erect prick up her twat. Then, as he started to give her the front hole a seeing to, Ken rammed his own length up her arse. Poor little Dawn didn't know what had hit her. Sandwiched between these two massive cocks, she jerked and writhed like a fish on a hook as the two of them pounded their gigantic fucksticks up her cunt and arsehole. Mike's was the third cock to enjoy the crack of Dawn, but she was still wonderfully tight, and her cunt tube was as soft and caressing as velvet. Mike was groaning in ecstasy as he shagged her, and the fact that Ken was buggering her at the same time was an even bigger turn on. After a while, they changed around. They got Dawn to kneel on the bed, and Mike shoved his cock up her arse while Ken fed her his length from down in front. Dawn made muffled, gurgling noises around Ken's huge member as Mike enthusiastically buggered her. Their eyes met over her back, and they grinned at each other. Two mates enjoying the best boys' night out there ever was. Mike didn't want it to ever end. After a few minutes up her arse, he laid her out on the bed again and straddled her face, fucking her hard in the throat while Ken shagged her up the twat. They were both almost sobbing with pleasure. Dawn was the perfect lover, and they were determined to push both her and themselves to the limits. Ken had told Mike that Dawn had passed out on Wednesday evening when the headmaster had been fucking her in the throat. That sounded so amazingly erotic to Mike, he wanted to see it for himself. So with Ken's help, he got Dawn positioned on her back and at the side of the bed with her little head dangling off the edge. Then, kneeling in front of her, Mike fed her his cock inch by inch until his balls were resting on either side of her cute button nose. Dawn's face was red as he held his erect member down her gullet, jamming her airway closed. Her hands fluttered feebly, and very faint sounds of protest escaped from around the base of his cock as she thrashed around, trying to break the oxygen-tight seal. But Ken was sitting on her chest, holding her arms pinned down, and Mike had her head in a tight grip. She couldn't get away. After 30 seconds of fainter and fainter tremors, Dawn's trembling hands fell limp to the coverlet. Her eyes rolled to the back of her head and closed. All movement died, and she was clearly unconscious. That was when Mike started to fuck her tumescent member in and out of her throat. He groaned in sheer ecstasy, shaking with passion as he fucked her face. "Mike," Ken warned him, looking a little nervous. "Bennett got off her when she passed out." I couldn't give a fuck, he panted, slamming his blood-heavy cock deep into the clinging membranes of Dawn's gullet. Oh, God. He couldn't stop himself. He just kept humping and humping away, watching his turgid cock sliding between Dawn's lips, feeling his swollen knob sliding in her tight esophagus. Since she was completely passive, her gullet had become sort of a magical second cunt, a horizontal channel of unrestricted sexual delight. He couldn't have stopped unless Ken had wrestled him to the ground. So Mike carried on, gasping and moaning and shagging on Don's face until he felt his orgasm building inside him. Then, with a scream of agonized pleasure, he cut loose and emptied his balls, spurt after scalding spurt into the unconscious little girl's throat. It was so intense that he almost passed out when he pulled himself together and climbed off of her, his huge half-slack member sliding out with an audible pop out of her airway. She lolled like a broken doll. A thin trickle of semen rolled like a tear from the corner of her mouth, and when Mike peered between her open lips, he saw more semen pooled at the back of her throat. She didn't seem to be breathing. "Fuck," he said, looking nervously at Ken. He was still sitting on Dawn's chest. Now he smacked her face experimentally a few times without producing any noticeable result.
"The kiss of life?" Mike suggested tentatively.
"You just shot down her fucking throat," Ken said. "You give her the kiss of life if you want. I'm not going to." Instead, they pulled her further under the bed so that her head wasn't lolling so spectacularly, and they rolled her under his side. After what seemed like a very long time, she gave a little liquid gurgle. Then her chest heaved once, twice, three times, and white bubbles welled between her lips as she retched weakly, her head giving a single spastic jerk. They carried her into the bathroom, where she threw up copiously into the toilet bowl. She didn't seem to know where she was or even who she was, and festivities were halted as they did the "how many fingers am I holding up?" routine. Little Dawn was like a prize fighter who'd taken too many punches to the head. Her mouth was slack, and her eyes were cross, and her voice, when she answered their questions, was slurred and drunk. But it was a question of priorities. Ken still hadn't come yet, and he was getting very twitchy. After a few minutes of this, they said fuck it and sucked their dicks back into her again. Mike sat on Dawn's face with his cock dangling between her tits, holding her legs apart as Ken slammed his hard on up her arse. That soon got Mike hard again, too, and by the time Ken shot his load into her large intestine, Mike was ready for a bit more fun. They took their times as they fucked her again, wanting to enjoy every moment. Dawn was still more or less out of it, her eyes unfocused and her movements jerky and uncoordinated. Mike fucked her with the arse and Ken raped her in the mouth. Then they swapped ends and he slammed fucked her gash while the other guy choked her with his hard on. They were a little bit worried about how sluggish her reactions were, but they were also ferociously turned on. When Mike finally ejaculated up her twat, he was howling like a maniac with lustful delight, and he got to watch while Ken force-fucked her face before spinning his load down her throat. By this time, it was definitely time to get Dawn back to the school. So they cleaned all of their spunk off of her, but she was still acting as though she was drunk. She responded to her name, but she couldn't form a coherent sentence, and she wouldn't respond to her name. Twisting her nipples and shoving their fingers up her cunt and arse got a little bit of a response, but it was so much fun that it almost led to a third round of lovemaking. But Dawn still went past muster, and Ken was getting agitated.
"Oxygen deprivation," he said. "You shouldn't have throat-fucked her after she passed out."
"Well, it's fuck of a lot of good telling me that now," Mike snapped back. "They tried everything. Coffee, smacks in the face, throats, dunking her face in cold water." Finally, at the 11th hour, Dawn began to rally and respond to them. They were so relieved that they kissed her tenderly. Very tenderly in Mike's case. He was getting his cock out again when Ken shoved him away and got her dressed. Mike said a lingering goodbye to Dawn at the downstairs hall, thrusting his crotch against hers and whispering in her ear what he was going to do to her when Ken brought her around next time. Then he hauled her off to the car and slammed the door and drove away. The rest of the evening was a bit of a letdown after that, but Mike knew in his heart that this was the beginning of a beautiful friendship.